provoking, also your questions at the end. You pushed the boundaries, but you didn't cross them. Thank you for that. Now, Nokozula Mdende, please. Just a moment. Professor Russo is just telling me that his presentation will be in French. So if you want to follow it, please get the equipment there at the back so that you will be able to follow what he is going to say. Thank you, Nokozula. Yours won't be in close-up.
Can you see that?
It needs focusing.
Okay. Chairperson, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Hackett has said it all. We have been together for quite a long time. And sometimes it is a disadvantage if you are talking to scholars about African religion, because it's always not at the same level, because you have to justify that it exists first. So you have helped me, because what I'm going to do now is just to give examples. I think I must take this here. Okay. Must give examples. Okay. Now I'll just greet everybody. I can see that beautiful woman there. Now the conference is on law and religion in Africa. I'm saying here, because I want to see him when he's showing me so that he can. As an African, I hope at the end of this conference we would have made it clear, this is my request, that from experiences that we have, what do we mean by religion from an African perspective? And what do we mean, which law are we talking about? Because we've got customary law, we've got Roman Dutch law, we've got English law, and so on. And the most critical question, as Africans, how far have we removed the colonial stereotypes from the African mind? How far have we moved from seeing Africa as inferior and outdated, and the West as being superior, progressive, and holy? And how do we judge those who differ from that mentality? At this point in time, is it a holier-than-thou situation? And respect or respect it for all, because what you are doing in Africa is that respect is only being done for those, for the Abrahamic faith and the religions from the East and Far East. Now, because I want theory and practice, because now, after we have answered that question, I think we can open the gate now and see the differences between theory and practice. And we cannot talk about law and religion in post-colonial without referring to pre-colonial times, because in pre-colonial times, before all these religions came, because I'm from South Africa, all religions came in South Africa, even Christianity came there. So, and before they all came, there was a religion that was there, and we believe in creator, ancestors, and life after death, communal way of life, performance of rituals, and there are clan rituals, societal rituals, and the African customary law is a foundation, and it promotes social cohesion. Now, there came the colonial times. Now, colonial times, when the colonial masters and the missionaries came, they said, okay, you people don't have religion, you have culture, you don't have the knowledge of God. That is why we're told of a God with a capital letter G and the one with a small letter G. And we are primitive, and we have got all these religions. There are people who are still using those terms now. Animism, heathenism, totemism, paganism, fetishism, witchcraft, and so on and so on. How do we define the indigenous religion of the people without people defining themselves? So that's the problem. If now we're talking of religion and the law, are we being allowed to define ourselves and not to be defined by those people who are seeing potential converts in us? Now, the colonial status, and I'm talking now about South Africa. South Africa, during the colonial times, was declared a Christian country. And the education system was based on Christian objectives, to believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is in Matthew, blah, 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 blah. So everybody who attends school must know that. And we even had to be having Christian names, so-called Christian names. Now, if we're talking about post-colonial, have we removed that? Because if you look at myself, my name is Nokusola. That is the name I was given by my parents during the ritual when I was named according to my religion. But that name, during the colonial period, was called a hidden name. And there was this so-called Christian name, and I was Oscarine. And even today, I don't know what Oscarine means. But in my books, there is this Oscarine. And hence, today, we've got all those names. Now, we had to become mental citizens and spiritual citizens of our colonial masters. That is how Oscarine was made to be superior than also. Now, and even today, we are still, most of us are still apologetics of that, because money is thicker than water. It's no longer blood is thicker than water. And money is thicker than blood. Most people started to be ashamed of their history. That is why to them it's good to be called the other and not yourself. Now, I want to show, because I said I'll be bringing something practical. We build something practical. And now, where is our point of departure? For instance, Rosalind has spoken about the colonial census. Now you'll find out, this is South Africa. You can see Roman Catholic, Catholic, DRC, African, other churches. So this is all Christianity, but they've got their percentages. Uncertain, don't know who are those. No religion, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, Confucian, Buddhist, the other. I'm sure we fall on that, the other parents or non-religion. We don't know where we fall, but this is South Africa, and the indigenous religion there is African religion. But it didn't even appear in the census. And what was the reason? Is it because of the questioning? Because when they go to a white community, they would say which religion you belong to. When they go to the Hindu community, which religion, and so on. But when they come to us, they will say, which denomination? And then a man would say, because he was not sure whether he's not going to be arrested, would say, I'm a Presbyterian. That's why I always make an example about at home, about my home. At home, only my mother used to go to the church. My father and my three brothers never went to the church, but their name is with the Reformed Presbyterian Church. That's the problem. There's no category for African religion. And then, coming now to the Constitution. Constitution always well written, the Bill of Rights. Have you shown me something? Oh, a Bill of Rights. Now, in the Bill of Rights, there's freedom of religion, belief, and opinion. Okay, this is liberating. Really, now, we are free. And really, we're free, because now, that is why I'm talking here. Now, from that Constitution, there's Section 185 of the Constitution on the promotion and protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. And there was that act which was passed in 2002. Oh, they must all be promoted. But the question that we had, Christianity has already been promoted. Islam has already been promoted. Hinduism has already been promoted. Why not promoting the one that is disadvantaged, African religion, that is being disadvantaged? But you'll find now, once you talk about religion, the chaplains, they were all referenced. As the result, they were looking at Christianity and not promoting this one. They would say, because they are black, they are African, oh, we know what you're talking about, we represent both. You can't represent both religions. There's this one that you are unfair to it. Then there's a policy on religious broadcasting in 1985. I'm going to talk about that. And now, I'm working as a commissioner in the new Gilifound Department, the Department of Traditional Affairs. But now, when we got independence, we had all these hopes that, oh, in the end, we are going to come out of the cocoon where we were forcefully driven by colonialism, missionary conversion, and apartheid, and we would be free to define ourselves and not to be defined, and we would be free to represent ourselves and not to be represented by people of other faiths. We would be allowed to be honest and not to pretend that would belong to other recognized religions. We would be free from indoctrination, spiritual denial and harassment. Then we'll be promoted and be helped to move from beyond the margin to the center. Then we'll be protected by the democratic government, especially when there is the theme of African religion, which was central. Now, I'm coming to the practicalities. Thank you. I'm coming to the practicalities. The SABC, South African Broadcasting Corporation, it had a policy. And if you look at that policy, it says to further correct correction of the neglect of African culture in public media, special African religion. African religion should be given a central role. But now the same SABC gave Christianity 70%, Islam 5, Hinduism 5, or even me, they said, oh my God, Judaism, interfaith program. And when I asked, hey, which category do you use here? They said, no, Christianity is the majority. And I said, Islam is good to get 5%, it's the majority in the Arabic countries. Hinduism is good for Hindu 5%, it's the majority in India. And Judaism is the majority in Israel. And if we are a minority in our own place of birth, hey, you African leaders, what are you saying? Where are we a majority? And you look at the policies, because something could be written down, but let us look at what messages are the symbols saying. Now, if you look at this, this is a symbol, national symbol, showing grace, heritage. But King Kwano died in 1775, even before the first missionary came to South Africa. But look at that symbol. That symbol is a Christian symbol. It's not our symbol. It's not African religion symbol, but it was imposed. Look at the Department of Education, the new syllabus. Look at the symbols. What is being taught to our children? What are we saying? It's our own leaders now. And look at the leaders, that's Bishop Bungane, the others, the Dalai Lama and so on. But look at who is representing us. These are the books that are written about us. And the South African calendar, there is a book that I've written on towards an inclusive South African calendar. Happy Christmas, happy Diwali, but there's happy what? Nothing that is saying about us. And now we are told that we are liberated. We have got African leaders. They're not concerned about that. They are so European. The national anthem, if you look at our national anthem, it's so praised in many countries. In Zambia, they call it in Zambia. But this verse is Pentecostal. Ye shall come down, Holy Spirit. And you see, and then is that is the secular state? No. And there are other songs that are being sung, Jerusalem, I'm longing for you. How can we say we're longing for Jerusalem in South Africa when we're talking, when they're having national events, and he was crucified because of me? The problem, what it is? The problem are the people who are representing us. I always have that one. Those people who are in the middle, African Christianity, they are the people who are doing a mess on us because they are so unfair. When they talk about African religion, they will talk in the third person, they will talk in the past, we used to do this. This is culture, this is witchcraft, God is Christian. And the terminology used, you are told that our spirituality is secular, God's ancestor, nature, spirit possession. I was accused in one conference why I didn't use a secular spirituality. I mean, why did I use spirit possession? I said, no, I will only use when I have my ancestors within me. I will say I'm possessed. When you Christians say you are possessed by the Holy Spirit, because with you you are filled with His Holy Spirit. With me you say I must be possessed. No, I can't say I'm possessed. So, post-colonial, you can see that South Africa is still a Christian country, minimal promotion, and African culture is distorted. That means even today, the rights and freedoms of ATR are still violated. The religion still suffers from exclusion if it insists in the definition of itself. So ATR is still in the spiritual exile. So that is the last one, the conclusion now. If religion is about God talk, because I believe I'm with the people who claim are the people of God, God who is loving, I think no religion should be made to be an appendage of another religion. as that denies the rights and freedoms of the subordinated religion. And no religion, it will also be leading to the silencing of the suppressed. So until African religion, I'm talking to my fellow Africans, until African religion is liberated from its own place of birth, no one can talk about freedom, equality, and democracy in Africa. No one can talk about a loving and a liberating God when marginalizing and suppressing the other. So my appeal to the African, we're talking about religion in Africa, my appeal to the African brothers and sisters of other faiths who have converted, they must stop converting us. Then once they stop converting us, then we will see now that they respect African religion. But the fact that they are still converting us, the fact that they are still telling us that we are witches, the Nigerians, you are right. I don't even watch those Nigerian films because you'll find that those Nigerian films, what they do, they will do all these things of Shakespeare, Macbeth. You see, and somebody just appears, and then in the name of Jesus, that person is saved. No, to me, that's colonial mentality. So until they stop that, thank you, Prof.
You asked me to say stop. Thank you, Dr. Ndende, for once again a very animated presentation, and thank you for what you have shared with the audience. And now, for our lesson in French, I call upon Professor Jean-Baptiste Sourou to please present his paper on the relationship between the institutional religions and traditional religions. We heard a South African perspective now, and most probably now from further north in Africa.
Okay, thank you so much.